passion has captured my soul. Yeah. Woman so pretty, the sweet cause in vain. You make love, you break love, it's all the same. When it's over. Music, sweet music, I wish I could caress, caress, caress. Manic depression is a frustrating mess. Wow!
We can add another line to the chalkboard on Melancholy's Shitty Day Ham Radios. I've just been feeling aimless and I don't know, whatever. Standard fucking shit. You've heard it all before. Sure, you'll hear it all again. Things have just kind of sucked lately. And my Libsyn page is all full, so I won't be able to post this for a while. So who knows, maybe by the time I put this up, everything will be hunky-fucking-dory again. But I figured I'd just go out, go for a walk, listen to some songs. That always cheers me up, so why not talk to myself while I'm at it? I don't know that I'm necessarily in the mood to dissect all of my problems. But who knows, sometimes doing these things puts me in the mood. I was putting together songs for a boy music podcast to be the counterpart of girl music. So I was sifting through a lot of Anthrax, because Anthrax is like the first metal band I ever got into. And I came upon this song from the Sound of White Noise era. I don't remember what the fuck it's called. It's like a outtake. It's kind of hard to find. And in fact, this only copy that I could find is kind of fucked up. I might have to snip it a little. It's goofed up in the middle. Anyway, here's some happy fun time music. Let's all smile and be happy. Ha 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 ha. So I'm just walking around my little neighborhood feeling fucking trapped by New York. Because what the fuck? Well, I don't know. I can just walk around my shitty neighborhood, or I could, if I want to go anywhere, I gotta get on a fucking bus or shitty train or something. And I'm not in any mood to see people and just fucking, I should not be doing this now. Jesus Christ, listen to this horse shit. Anyway, what I was gonna say is, I just walked by a van that was all smashed up because it obviously crashed into something. And it was just nice to see. I liked it. I should just go home and play some fucking Grand Theft Auto. Just shoot some fucking people in the face. I could get in these cars and drive them into things. I sound like a fucking idiot. Jesus Christ. I think I brought the wrong music when I was picking stuff before I left the house. It was a lot of slower, quieter, melancholy stuff. But now I got myself all worked up and I don't want to hear that shit. Jesus, look at this. Fucking blankets and pillows and coffee cups laying on the street. Fuck this town. This place is a fucking scum hole. You know, somebody fucking did. Ian's roommate is a journalism student. And apparently they did this statistical fucking test. I don't know that this is just for her neighborhood or for New York in general. But supposedly the statistic the government came up with is that the streets of New York are 95% clean. Are you people fucking high? Does that make any fucking sense? That is retarded. That is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. This place is a fucking scum hole. New Rome, my ass. This is the fucking new, I don't even know. What? Rome, as it burns? The end of Rome? I don't know what the fuck. I don't know my historical similes. Anyway, so I'm trying to find other songs I got that fit with this vibe a little bit. And this will have to do while I look through. This is System of a Down. It's a song called The Highway Song from Steal This Album.
Never wanna be alone. I forgot.
I know me complaining about the garbage in New York is the fucking leitmotif of this show, but I don't even remember if I said this on the show before. My latest clever fucking thoughts about the garbage, especially in Bushwick, Brooklyn, is where I thought of this shit. My first is that I like to imagine there's a garbage snail, a gigantic snail that just goes down the streets at night and just leaves a trail of garbage behind it, because that's the only way to explain this fucking horseshit. But really, there's just like exploded, like piles of garbage all fucking over the place. It really is like some guy has a fucking garbage bag bazooka and he just fires bags of garbage all over the place. And obviously that's ridiculous, but I was thinking, if I saw a guy who had a garbage bazooka, I would only be 80% shocked. When in any other fucking place I've ever lived, I would be 100% shocked. Here, I'd be like, that is still shocking. That is fucking retarded. But 20% of me can fucking buy that. And I gotta admit, like, where I'm situated in Queens, a lot of times I'll go to the Asian neighborhood by the 7 train. Scum hole. Totally shitty. Or I'll go to Jamaica, where the J train is. Scum hole. Totally shitty. That's more of an ethnic neighborhood, if you know what I mean. But right in the middle is the Jew neighborhood. And as much as I make fun of them for their silly little yarmulkes and their retarded beliefs, I gotta admit, it is a million times cleaner. I have never seen a guy in a yarmulke litter on the street. Never. I'll give them that. They got some, at least, pride enough not to litter in that tiny gene pool. Alright, let's go back to my happy place. There's a reason why I'm obsessed with old video games, why I listen to podcasts about retro gaming, and why I was disappointed that the new Bionic Commando remake won't work on my computer. It's because that's when I was happy. That's when I was a happy little kid. Which is not entirely true, because I had a hell of a bad temper for video games. So they would oftentimes upset me also. But in general, you know, overall, that idyllic time of youth, video games are what crystallizes that for me and brings me back. So let's listen to some video game music. Let's listen to Snake Man from Mega Man 3. And then a little music from Faxanadu. If you don't know these games, if you weren't a kid in the 80s playing fucking Nintendo, then this is just going to sound shitty and annoying. But if you were, this is like Zen. This will center me. I remember I played Faxanadu at this kid John's house who lived around the corner from me. I never really hung out with him that much, really just for video games. That was a cool game. Except when people talked, they blinked way too much. I remember that kid, he was the first kid to try to teach me how to wear a baseball cap when I was little. You know, that kind of reminds me of just how, I don't know, I've never had my fucking social ways, my social ability questioned as much as it has since I fucking moved to New York. Never seemed like a big deal anywhere else. But it just reminds me of, I remember I was at that kid's house playing some fucking game, I don't even know what, Zelda 2, I think. And one of his, he was downstairs getting something to eat or some shit. One of his other friends showed up and they wandered off to do something and left me upstairs. And I didn't even notice. I mean, I just kept playing the game for another hour or something. And then John's sister wandered in and was like, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And I was like, "What do you mean, what am I doing here? I'm playing video games." She's like, "Oh, well, John left." And I was like, "Yeah, you know, so I guess that means you want me to go home, right? But I don't care that John left. Anyway, I did go home." But I don't know, when you're a kid, no one gives a fuck about this bullshit social etiquette fucking crap. Maybe I was supposed to grow into it. I don't know. Wow, that is a low airplane. Holy shit, that was cool. I should point out, just to give everyone a setting, it's like midnight. Walking around. Anyway, yeah, that airplane, Jesus, I could have fucking reached up and grabbed that motherfucker. That was kind of cool. It just flew right over my head. All right, let's find another fucking song. Here's a Brad Zuck song. It's a demo. It's called We're Not Friends, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
is Dunkin' Donuts. Man, I'm tempted to just get it. I mean, obviously I'm tired. I get cranky when I'm tired, which is a problem because I'm always fucking tired because I have serious sleep problems. But they've been especially bad lately. Just fucking staying up till 4 in the morning because I just can't sleep and I just get tired of just laying there trying to sleep. It makes me fucking nuts. Like, after you lay there for a fucking hour, you just can't lay there anymore. I remember I read a statistic that the average person falls asleep in like 8 minutes. It's like, are you kidding? That's fucking insanity. That does not happen with me. Anyway, I'm tempted to just get a coffee and fucking blast through, but I'm saying I shouldn't. Why shouldn't I? I don't know. What the fuck have I got going on? Nothing. But I won't. This song's extremely long, so I'm going to talk over some of it. I was just thinking how just how vaguely fucking worked up and antagonistic I'm feeling. Like, I saw some dude down by a corner a ways back, just hanging out on the corner, and I pull out a cell phone to call somebody, and I was just thinking, like, man, what if that guy tried to rob me, you know? Like the guy I mentioned who got beat up in Williamsburg. I mean, that'd be awful. That was like two guys, and they beat the shit out of him, and he went to the hospital. But say I got attacked by somebody right now. As long as the camera was on, oh, that'd be the best, because then I would fucking hit them with this camera. Just, right over the head. And if the camera didn't turn off, oh, that'd be the best. That'd be so great. Just to have the sounds of the struggle, assuming that I won and got away with the camera. Oh, that'd be fantastic. Although what I would do is whack the guy over the head and fucking run. Run like a bitch. Still, that'd be good enough. Anyway, this is my cousin Dan. Doesn't have the broadest musical taste in the world, but he's never steered me wrong. I trust his recommendations. When I move home, I should have him on a show. I was listening to the old shows the other day, like episode 2, 3, 4, when I was doing them with my friends Matt and Ray and Brad once in a while. Made me kind of miss those guys. That's the problem with staying here in the States, is I can't go back to visit. I gotta stay, suck what I can out of this, because once I move away from New York, I certainly won't be moving fucking back. So let's suck in all this fucking stupid-ass town while I can. Anyway, here's the reason I know this song, because this is Creed. And I would never in a million fucking years listen to a Creed album. It's just like, really? Could there be a worse band than Creed? But Creed's first album, he's like, I know, man, I'm with you, I understand. But somebody, like, he just, I don't know, one of his friends left it at his apartment or something, this Creed CD. And, so he eventually listened to it, and he's like, it's really not that bad. And he was right, eventually. Then he left it at my place, and it took months before I listened to this fucking thing. But, like, My Own Prison is a good song, the very last song I like. But this is my favorite. This is the very first song. It's called Torn. Not to be confused with the Natalie Imbruglia song. And it's good. I like it. Very grungy.
of blame, the reasons for my intentions poor. Yes, I'm the one who, the only one who would carry on this far.
Dan's life has always been like a weird one. I certainly can't complain about anybody's life being off kilter, because mine is feeling very off kilter lately. Quick side note, just as a, I don't know, something to look up. This guy, Jeremy, who you might know through Keith and the Girl, who I've hung out with, I don't know, 2 or 3 times. I like the guy. He sent me a link to... It's like a little mini film school, like a 4-day film school that the Travel Channel does, about being a travel documentarian, whatever you call it, travel reporter. He's like, hey, I saw this, I thought of you. But I checked it out, and it's like a $2,000 course. $2,000 for 4 days for shit like Introduction to Final Cut Pro, The Philosophy of the Travel Network. Go fuck yourself. Anyway, that's how rudderless I'm feeling that I actually checked that out. Thank you, Jeremy. That was very nice that you thought of me. But yeah, Dan is the dad of Allie, the girl I used to be a babysitter for. And things have come together better since he's had a kid. But he would always be the guy that just moved from place to place, random jobs. Not so different for me. And he always has good stories about shit. But I remember he lived in this one apartment in Fredericton. Upstairs from that place where you can get the fucking, I don't know the street names, even though it's my little hometown. But downtown, that convenience store where you can get the samosas, Patel's samosas. He lived upstairs from there. And his like only possession in the world was he had a PlayStation, the first PlayStation. So this is that era, 95, 96, whenever that was. Or he had Resident Evil 3, so you could figure that out from whatever year that came out. And he would just fucking grind video games like crazy. He must have beat Resident Evil 3, I don't know how many times, Final Fantasy 7, over and over. So once he got his hands on fucking World of Warcraft, Jesus, forget about it. But I remember things just kind of fell apart at that place, as they always did in his life in general. Rent didn't get paid. People got pissed. And the door was never locked in his apartment, I remember that. Because who gave a fuck? Just come and go as you please. Had a bunch of roommates. Everybody was very cool and calm about everything. And I just remember things got so bad there, he basically just had to hightail it out of there. The door got kicked off, if I remember right, which is totally unnecessary because it's not like it was locked. And that was his big thing. He's like, man, I want to go back. I want to get my fucking PlayStation, but what if? What if these dudes I owe money to or whatever the situation was, what if they're there? What if they jump me? And he just had to leave it.
Self-esteem that's been stomped away from every single dream. stay back in the shell. Your punk ass made it up, and your fucking mind should have never blown. Shut up, you don't know me. Squeal like a pig when you pig-walking.
Here's a song that reminds me of Vancouver. This is called Standing in the Rain. It's a Billy Talent song, but this is them doing it acoustic at some radio station. And reminds me of Vancouver because it's about the Lower East Side, which, as much as I talk about liking Vancouver and how, as a big city, it's really nice, which it is, the Lower East Side, the downtown East Side, it's a fucking disaster. It's fucking Junkieville, man. That's something that I remember him to mention on Keith and the Girl a week ago. Some cockamamie theory about how all drugs should be legal. Actually, I think it was Julio from New York, who first put that forth. And she agreed. So I was talking to Ayn about it, and man, I just think that's the biggest bunch of fucking nonsense. They're just drugs that should not be legal. I mean, I'm not saying the war on drugs works, but like, Vancouver is such a ceasefire. Not a ceasefire, but just like, just a desperate attempt to normalize things where they have, what I think is a good example. They have the, like, what I mean is, like, even if there were legal places to do stuff, it'd be one thing if it was weed or even drinking, or, well, drinking is legal, but there's no responsible good way to smoke crack. There's no responsible way to do cocaine, although people are really convincing themselves about that one. Not true. And like heroin is like the big thing in Vancouver. So they have these safe injection sites where you have your heroin, they don't ask you where you got it, but they'll supply you a clean needle. And I think what really proves that this is not respectable fucking, that's the word I'm looking for, responsible. These are not responsible businessmen on their way to a big meeting. Oh, I'll just stop in and fucking shoot up. Because you can get socks there. They will give you new socks, because that's one of the biggest problems with just being a street dude, is you never take off your fucking socks and they just become awful and your feet fucking fall off your body. So that's basically the crux of my argument, is that there's some things you just shouldn't be doing. I thought Keith made a good point on Keith and the Girl that, I mean, if crack was legal, surely he would have smoked it at some point. I mean, a lot more people would. Like, I did salvia with those guys on Keith and the Girl TV, which is another fucking proves how obsessed I am with old video games. That's what happened on my weird Salvia trip. I just kind of passed out and thought I was in some weird Super Mario game. An extremely boring, static Super Mario game, but definitely Super Mario. Anyway, and all that took was 4 or 5 shots of Jaeger and a little bit of convincing. And it really was that stuff's legal. That's the only reason I tried it. I was like, you guys are fucking shitting me. There's no way these stories about Salvia can possibly be true. This is bullshit. I'll show you. This isn't part of the video, but go to KeithNagurlTV.com if you haven't seen this. But I set up tasks for myself. Or I told Keith to set up a task for me. So he took, we had like Toblerone bars there. So he's like, all right, scattered them across the room. And he's like, I want you to only pick up the dark chocolate ones. You leave the other two kinds. And I was like, you got it, friend. I will. I'll show you Salvia's bullshit. Salvia's not bullshit. That shit knocked me the fuck out. Made me fucking, like, hallucinate. It was fucking crazy. I'm not gonna do it again, but it's just Salvia, whatever. It's not gonna kill me. But there's just, I don't know, whatever. Only reason I'm even debating this is because there is no one to debate it. I'm just talking to myself. If you send me an email about this, we're not gonna discuss it. I don't fucking care what you think. I'm tired of caring what anyone else thinks. Here's Standing in the Rain. About horrible junkies in Vancouver.
Alright, let's try this one out. This song's called Standing in the Rain. All right. It's about our homosexual merch guy.
Great.
Now we just can't get a break.
It's not really about that.
Right?
Yeah.
My looks and smile have now become like hers. Tight lips, red skirt, the never-ending street. Big car, little man, my love before a tree. So, if you see me while you just drive on by, or will I catch a twinkle in such a ride? And if you want me, well, I guess I want you. No sun, my room has now become my hers. Cold sores, my feet, got bruises on my feet. My pride, these men have taken it from me. So if you see me, well, you just drive on by. Or will I catch a twinkle inside your eye? And if you want me, well, I guess I want you. Well, pretty baby, how could you? Sitting in the rain.
Thank you.
Here's another song that reminds me of Vancouver. This is All the Love in the World by Nine Inch Nails. This is always a thing, like I remember how, when I was a kid, it seemed like things took so long to come out. Like, I'm going to do a podcast about Evan Dando, because I really like Evan Dando. But I was looking back over the history of the Lemonheads, and right at the peak of when I was really into them, it was like a 3-year gap between Come On Feel the Lemonheads and Carbon Cloth, 93 to 96. Which seemed like so long back then. I was like, holy shit, what happened to that guy? Did he fucking die? But meanwhile, it was like 5 or 6 years between the Fragile, 6 years I think. Fragile was 99, and this album With Teeth came out in 2005. Didn't even fucking notice, like a blip on the radar. When you're young, this wait between albums is huge. Nowadays, it's like whatever. Couldn't possibly be long enough. Because, I don't know, you're just not paying attention anymore. You got more going on. Anyway, I remember I downloaded this album. I had this little cheap MP3 player, like always. No computer of my own, so I'd just jump into internet kiosk places. There was a lot more of them, even though this was only a few years ago, 2005, but that shit was a lot easier to find. Now it's way more likely that you've got a laptop with wireless or a fucking iPhone or something. Some people just give you wireless and biggity bam. But back then, lots of computers everywhere. Every convenience store had its own little back room with internet access. So I just went and downloaded this album, and this was the first song, and I was just like, kind of sure that the version I downloaded must be fucked up or it was not playing in the right order. Because, like, how could this be the opening track? That's weird. But it was. And I just always really like this song. It's a very weird song for Nine Inch Nails, but it's really good. It also reminds me a lot of the girl I was seeing at that time. Remember, I made her a mix CD of, like, just the quieter piano, like, Nine Inch Nails songs because she liked this song. She's like, man, I didn't know Nine Inch Nails had songs like this. So I made her a whole thing. But I don't really think I need to get into talking about that. Let's just listen to some Nine Inch Nails.
Crowd.
So I'm in a little 24-hour diner in Flushing. Flushing's best 24-hour breakfast, apparently. I've been here once before, ages ago, when I first got to New York. My computer first showed up. Me and Relic went to pick it up. We stopped in here. Not sure how well I can talk to myself, because, you know, I'm in a diner. There's people. It's weird. Gotta say, though, this makes me feel better. I like ordering food, for one thing. It's my favorite thing to spend money on. Probably just food. And, like, diner-type food. Feel better about me and I and went to this sushi place in Manhattan. It was like crazy expensive. For the two of us, it was like $100. And she insisted on paying, and I really feel just the whole day was a bad day in general. We had a lot of problems that day, but man, I don't know, it just made me feel bad. I felt guilty about that. It's a lot of money to spend on fucking sushi. Oh well, whatever, we'll all be dead someday, right? Might as well enjoy it while we're here. This is a song I totally forgot about. It was that band, the Crash Test Dummies. They were pretty famous in the States with... although they've been pretty... They were famous in Canada for years, ages. They're still going. They're not famous anymore, but they were. But I thought that was interesting, that that song, that song was a real big hit in the States. Whereas in Canada, it was just another one of their big hits. They had so many of them. I think that one even did a little less good than some of the other songs from that album. But then their fourth album they put out was kind of weird. It had a weird sound. And this was the lead single. And I forget how much I like it. It is a weird sounding song, but it's really good. It's called Put a Lid on Things, or Keep a Lid on Things. I remembered liking the whole album, but it turns out I downloaded it again, and I guess I only like this song. But this is some CanCon, some Canadian content.
Who put the doggy in the doghouse?
You did, baby, you did.
Who put your granny in the granny house?
You did, baby. You did, baby.
Who put the bed in the madhouse?
You did, baby, you did.
Who put that junk in the junk house?
You did, baby. Try everything while I'm gone. Keep a lid on things.
Who put the fun in the fun house?
You did, baby, you did.
Who put your dad in the half house?
You did, baby. You did, baby.
Who put the boys in the clubhouse?
You did, baby, you did. You did, baby. Keep your eye on things while I'm gone. Keep a lid on things. Don't you try everything while I'm gone. Keep a lid on things. Keep your eye on things while I'm gone. Keep a lid on things.
Just noticed if I put my camera next to my milk, it looks like I'm drinking milk, which I am. delicious milk. Ace Ventura is playing on the TV in here. There's Courtney Cox. I forgot she was in that. And it's just funny because everybody's watching it. The dudes at work here, it's the guy and his girlfriend at the next booth. They both kind of conversation lulled, so they turn to the TV, the next table down. It's just funny. Just everybody at this diner at 1 in the morning just hanging out watching Ace Ventura. This is nice. I think when I listen back to this, let me just soak in some details with my eyeballs, because when I think back, I'm going to remember this place. I'm going to like this particular little bubble of time. Thank you. All right, I got to eat some food. That would be gross to hear. So here's a song by De La Soul called Millie Pulled a Pistol on Santa. I know all the words to this song, incidentally. I really like this song. Not a happy song, but a really good song.
This is the styling for a title that sounds silly, but nothing silly but the trifling times of Millie. Millie, a Brooklyn queen, originally from Philly, complete with that accent that made her sound hillbilly. Around this time, the slamming drug was milk is chilling, but even cooler was my social worker Dylan. Yeah, I had a social worker cause I had some trouble. Anyone who ripped for me, I popped it, don't like bubble. He bring me to his crib to watch my favorite races. That's how his daughter Millie became one of my favorite faces. She had the curves that make you wanna take chances. I mean, on her man, I love to make advances. I guess her father must have got the same feeling. I mean, actually finding his own daughter Millie appealing. At the time, no one knew, but it was a shame that Millie became a victim of the touchy-touchy game. Yo, Millie, what's the problem? Lately you've been bugging. On your dookie earring, someone must be tugging. You were a dancer who could always be found clubbing. Now you're worried now with the frown you're lugging. Come to think your face would stink when deals around you. He's your father, what then happened? Did he ground you? Shouldn't flip on him, cause Bill is really cool. Matter of fact, the coolest seller in the school. He hooked up a trick to bring us all the Lacy's. He volunteered to play on Santa Claus and Macy's. Child, you got the best pops anyone could have. Dylan's cool, super hip, you should be glad.
Yeah, it seemed that Santa's ways was parallel with Dylan. But when Millie and him got home, he was more of a villain. While she slept and he crept inside her bedroom, and he would toss her, then would force her to give him headroom. Millie tried real hard to let this hell not happen, but when she fussed, he would just commence to slap.
Yo, Dylan, man, Millie's been out of school for a week, man. What's the deal?
I guess he was giving Millie Bruce's time to heal. Of course, he told us she was sick, and we believed him. And at the department store in Santa, we would see him. And as he smiled, his own child was at her plot. I walked the face of this girl, she was gonna knock him. When I got home, I found she had tried to call me. Mama, she had kicked to her, hey, how you doing?
Sorry.
I tried to call the honey, but her line was busy. I guess I had to make you some bug out on Dylan.
I received a call from Mrs. Sick herself. I asked her how was she recovering her health. She said that what she had to ask would make it seem minute. She wanted to talk serious, I said go ahead, shoot. She claimed I hit the combo dead upon the missile. Wanted to know if I could get a loaded pistol. That ain't a problem, but why would Millie need one? She said she wanted a pop Dylan, and he'd one. Ran some style about him, pushing on a private. Look, honey, I don't care if you kick faucets. There's no way that you could prove to me that deals flip. He might be the butt, but your jeans he wouldn't rip. You're just mad, he's your overseer at school. No need to play him out like he's someone cruel. She kicked that she would go get it from somewhere else. Yeah, whatever you say, go for yourself.
Macy's department store, the scene for Santa's kisses, and all the little brats demanding all their wishes. Time passes by as I wait for my younger brother. He asks his wish, I waste no time to return him back to mother. As I'm jetting, Millie floats in like a zombie. I ask her what's her problem, all she says is where is he? I give a point, she pulls a pistol, people screaming. She shouts the deal, he's off the hell cause he's a demon. None of the kids could understand what was the cause. All they could see was a girl holding a pistol on claws. Dylan pleaded mercy, said he didn't mean to do
all the things that hurt my foot do nothing but cling to. Millie bucked them, and with the quickness, it was over. It's over. It's over.
That did cheer me up. Now, let's see if I can think of all the various things I was thinking of while I ate that I thought were important enough to mention. Well, first off, I don't know, usually I'm a pretty good tipper, but every once in a while, I'll be out with someone and they're like, whoa, that's not enough. And I think it's because I just kind of tip the same regardless of the bill. Like, the idea of a percentage, like, that was like $10, $10.85. So I left like $4 as a tip, which I guess percentage-wise, the 10%, the 20%, that's pretty good. That's double or something. But if I left that same $4 on a big-ass thing, then that sucks. I don't know. To me, it's like, that's the tip. I don't know. It makes sense to me. But I don't do the mental math so much in my head. Yeah, so I caught the end of Ace Ventura. Luckily, I thought it was going to be like how the Superstation, they play the same movie twice in a row a lot of times. But no, they kicked in with Ace Ventura 2, When Nature Calls. And he's quite a delightful fellow, that Ace Ventura. He's a little silly. You know, he's a little overblown. If you really knew a guy like that, he probably would not be so fun to hang out with. But in a movie, delightful. I was thinking how that did make me happy to be in a nice warm place, eating food, hanging out, watching Ace Ventura. But it also made me feel lonely. I wished Ian was here. She actually came out to Queens last weekend. It was the first time she's been out here to see my place, because it was really my fault. She's more of the theory that you should split time between each other's houses, but I just never had, like, a real bed. I had the air mattress I borrowed from Keith and Hemda. Now that Newsy has moved in with me and Relic, I just sleep on one of the couches. There's just nowhere for a lady to stay. So we made it like a day trip. She came out in the morning and hung out for the day, and our fucking heat wasn't on. I don't know what was up with that. I think our landlady was gone for the day. It was really cold in our house. But we went and saw the Unisphere. We went to this little diner that has jukeboxes where you put in quarters and you can play songs. I love that place. And the main reason she wanted to come out is she used to be obsessed with this game. Well, she played one of the songs from Katamari Damacy. So I got that on Newsy's PlayStation, and we played that. It was just a fun day. It was a good day. Made me wish she was here and around. But then, I was just listening to stuff on this MP3 player, and there's not much on it, only the stuff I was going to play on this show. So I listened to that Billy Talent song again, Standing in the Rain. And that got me thinking about my junkie brother, and that made me sad again. Happy then sad. I actually looked up the other day on Wikipedia, manic depression. It's not called that anymore. It's called depressive disorder, I think. Because, I mean, I don't know. It's like, it does seem like it's a little tough for me to keep a streak going. But then you read this stuff, and, like, these are people with, like, real, real problems. Like, serious. Like, severe. Depressive episodes. And I just, I mean, I guess that doesn't invalidate it. It doesn't mean it's not applicable to me. I guess I should be glad it's not like that. That I don't, like, just can't function and just want to fucking kill myself, you know? But then it also makes it kind of not that helpful. Because it's like, I don't know, this really doesn't seem like it relates. This is just too much. This is way too severe. Like, the social awkwardness thing. I was just thinking, like, even just little things like being at that that diner. Just the little thing of, like, having to get the check and then go pay the check. It's just a totally normal thing I've done tons of times before, but it always makes me a little apprehensive. Just little things like that, and I don't know why. And maybe it is because I've just subconsciously kind of gotten used to the idea that maybe I'm going to fuck something up, you know? Maybe I'm going to, I don't know, there's got to be a reason, right? Why else would I give a fuck? I don't know. But then again, it's like then you look up like Asperger syndrome or whatever, and or full-blown autism, and it's just no way. It's just like, I don't know, it just, you read about it, it's just too severe. It's like these people have real issues, and I just don't think I got that. So, I don't know. Overall, though, net effect of food in the belly, definitely happier. Let me find a happy song. All right, here's a song that my good friend Brian Ward sent me, who just did a ham radio style show driving in his car that I posted, that I'm sure some of y'all heard, that I enjoy it a lot. He's going to do some more of those. I probably will only post that one on my page because I run out of space easy. But there's a link, so you can go check out his stuff. And, yeah, he sent me this song. This is the band. So it's like the name is slipping through my brain. I'm pretty sure it's Birds of Tokyo, but why would they be called Birds of Tokyo if they're from Perth? But I don't think it's Birds of Paradise, because that sounds too gay. I'd remember that. Anyway, it's the Carnival Singer. This is his softer band. And I like this song a lot. The little riff at the very start kind of reminds me of the old Chili Peppers song, Jungle Man. I am a jungle man. I shouldn't sing it. I don't remember how it goes. Anyway, this is a nice little tune. Let's listen to this. I'm on my way home. because the whole point of this was just to cheer myself up. So now that I'm feeling more cheered up, now I'm going to go home and work on some writing or play a video game or something. New Penny Arcade Adventures is out. Maybe I'll download that shit. So thanks for letting me unburden myself on you, Internet. Just reminded me, before I went to that diner, yeah, that's what was running through my head was... it doesn't matter. More complaining. I'm not going to do that. I'm done. Here's a song from this comic book I started reading called Beck by Harold Sakowichi. It's just about these kids starting a band, and the first couple volumes are kind of slow, but volume 3 really picked up, and I just like the style of it and how it's just cool. It's just these just kids trying to start a band. Nothing crazy. But I really dug it. You can really tell, like, there's like a level of fetishism this guy had with drawing instruments accurately. And I liked his style because it's still like a Japanese comic book, but it's not too crazy. It's a lot more realistic than most stuff. Anyway, they put out an anime version, animated version of this show. I never did see all the episodes because there's a lot of filler. There's a lot of horseshit in there that just is not important. The fucking swimming instructor guy and shit that you can gloss over pretty easily when you're reading the comic. But when you're stuck there watching a cartoon at a steady pace, you're like, man, half of this is useless. This show should be fucking 13 episodes, not 26. So I never watched them all. Anyway, it's a long explanation for a one-minute ditty I'm going to play now. This is a song called Sister from that show. Okay, here's the song that Gabe played on his show Fam Radio. This is Nina, the 99 Loof Balloons chick. I heard this song on his podcast, and I was like, that's fucking great. I should go check her shit out. So I downloaded her greatest hits, and it had no impact on my brain whatsoever. But this one song did. I really like this song. I don't know what the fuck it's called. German title. Here it is. Rock out. Thank you. I was just thinking, what a douche I am. Who am I to deny? Like, oh, I don't know. I looked up manic depressive disorder, and I don't think that's me. Could I have gone from more fucking annoyed and downbeat to more fucking chipper? Like, come on, Keith McNally. Why deny it? And anyway, I don't know. I will say, though, one thing. It's only really became clear to me the other day. But it's not hard for me to lose my temper. It's like, it's easy for me to get angry about things. But I really have figured out that it's really just, it's totally a defense mechanism. Because if I'm feeling ashamed or embarrassed or confused or whatever other emotion, if I start feeling mad about it, it just, and it's like a fucking, it's just like a wall goes up. It's total defense. Like I just don't feel anything else. I feel that angerness. Hulk feels angerness, and it just, A for angerness. That's gonna be my biography name. Yeah, and it just keeps everything at bay. It just, then I'm just, I don't know, protected from having to deal with whatever is going on in reality. It's obviously a problem. I gotta work on that. But I don't know, I really think, I guess that's like a, not a big revelation or whatever. That's probably pretty obvious, but yeah, just, I don't know, I noticed it the other day when I was having a fight with Ian, I'm sad to say, but it took a long time. I mean, well, a long time for me. Probably 15 minutes or something of fucking debating or whatever, and then I eventually was just like, and I should, I mean, when I get mad, it's not like I'm throwing fists here. I probably still get mad like a pussy, but to me, it's mad. And yeah, and that's when it's just like autopilot. That's when you just know what to say to hurt the other person. You know what to say just to throw up the barriers, to build a fucking moat so nobody can get at you. And just walked by a guy. I can't help it. I can't just keep talking to myself. Not this late at night. It's too weird. The guy did look over at my camera. It's like, what was that all about? What the fuck was I just saying? That, well, yeah, I think what I realized is one of the real problems, like, that makes it such an easy place to go to in my head is it's not just a defense mechanism, but I think due to the merit of it being a defense mechanism, it feels good. Probably this is why I used to get mad at video games as a kid, too, because it was obvious I wasn't really that mad about fucking Super Mario falling in a hole. It was all these other things in my life that I couldn't express or whatever. Yeah, it's just like, that's just, in its own, it seems so backward, but getting mad about stuff is like an island of serenity in its own way. It blocks off everything else. It just insulates my head like I'm just wearing a fucking giant helmet. And nothing is getting in. And in a way, I like being there. I like getting to that point. And that is a definite problem. That is going to make this, and has historically always made this, a much harder thing to stop from happening. All right, so with that little ode to Freud, let's play Ray's theme from Neon Genesis Evangelion. You anime nerds know why this is applicable. What show could, no, yeah, that whole show, okay, well, it's like a giant robot show, but the three main characters, there's this little bitch named Shinji who just runs away from everything, and there's a girl named Asuka who's way too aggressive and loud, and then there's a girl named Rei, which is Japanese for zero, see, it's a funny pun, who's like a clone or some shit, and she's just really quiet and just completely cut off. And it's a clumsy show in a lot of ways, but I think that's one big reason why it really resonated with people is it does throw in all these weird psychological principles that ultimately it's not a very satisfying conclusion that it comes to, but it's nice that it kind of tried to get into shit a little deeper than your average giant robot cartoon. Hence, it is very famous. So, yeah, this is Ray's theme. Crazy Ray, who never talks. It's very pretty. Okay, we got time for one more song. This one's not a very happy song, but I want to squeeze this in before I go. This is the Marilyn Manson song, Reflecting God, from Antichrist Superstar. And as an angry teen, I used to really dig fucking Marilyn Manson. But this is an acoustic cover done by a French guy. I got this off YouTube. And this is extra great, because this guy does a bunch of covers of stuff, like fucking... Scentless Apprentice was another one I liked that I almost played. But he clearly doesn't really know what the words are, especially with the Nirvana covers he does. It's great. Like, you can tell he's sort of just phonetically mashing his way through. This one, he doesn't do too bad, but he's clearly not an English speaker. It's his first language. And it's just cool to hear fucking such an aggressive Marilyn Manson song as a little guy in his bedroom acoustic version. You know, fuck it, I'm gonna play the Marilyn Manson version after this too. I'll play the YouTube one first and then the Manson version. This is a good song. It's hard to take Marilyn Manson seriously in a lot of ways, but there's that moment in time where if you were 16 years old, the guy was really cool.
Wilders on an ashtray, burning McCall like cigarettes. The more you cry, the less you stand to mud. Nocturnals are leeches, villaging spinning sheeted. Formless been the same of your life. My one is on a
die.